Okay. This is a subject that fascinates me, absolutely fascinates me. Just a week ago, the new Education Act came in Alberta. God, I'll tell you, you know, one of the things about legislative drafting these days, statutes are so easy to read. I think a lot of laws of government just should be scrapped and rewritten because, you know, they're written in modern speak. So lawyer or not, it is really an easy read. So as I'm going through the new Education Act, I turn to Section 31, which has a list of student responsibilities, which only makes sense. Under the law, a student, as a partner in education, has a responsibility to attend school, be ready to learn, ensure your conduct contributes to a warming, a welcoming, caring, respectful, safe learning environment. You respect the rights of others. And then 31E, okay? The student has a responsibility to refrain from, report, and not tolerate bullying or bullying behavior directed toward others in the school, whether or not it occurs within the school building, during the school day, or by electronic means. So among all the things about, you know, cooperate with people in charge, blah, 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 specifically, sub E of 31 puts a positive duty on students to refrain from, to report and not tolerate bullying, cyber or in real person, on the school grounds or not. Now, what happened? Now, by the way, the parents also have the prior right to choose the kind of education. They're the primary guide, the decision maker. Oh, and parents have a responsibility to, quote, take an active role in the child's educational success, including assisting the child in complying with Section 31. So the stuff that the kid has to do, the parent's responsible for helping the kid do that. Then you go down over student discipline. A teacher or principal may suspend a student if, in the opinion of the teacher or the principal, the student has failed to comply with Section 31. So for any of those things listed in Section 31, attending school, learning, you know, conduct that contributes to a good environment, and refraining from reporting, not tolerating bullying, you can suspend a kid. I kind of like that. I mean, I think what's doing is giving some sense to young people that they have a stake in this educational system and process. Now, so you read that and I'm thinking, boy, this is good. The new Education Act came into force just last week, the 19th of November, and it is now the law in Alberta. Some have called it the toughest anti-bullying law in Canada. So you think, okay, that's cool. But an organization called the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada has come out criticizing this very thing that people like me are praising. They say the approach is wrong-headed because it doesn't involve the parents to a greater extent. Peter John Mitchell, senior researcher with the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, joins us on the phone from Ottawa this morning. Peter John, thanks for taking our call.
John, thanks for having me on.
Why the critique about the interaction between the parent and the child?
Well, first, with a particular legislation, and you've done an excellent job of just laying out what exactly is presented in the Act, the first concern would come from the punitive penalty that is attached to being a bystander, and I can certainly understand wanting to have students take responsibility. I like that part in Section 31 that talks about not tolerating bullying and reporting it. It becomes a little bit trickier when we compel students by threat of suspension to essentially police the internet on behalf of the school. What we're proposing in a report that we had released this week is looking at the family aspect of bullying. How do families contribute to either the making of bullies? How do families contribute to protecting from children becoming bullies? And also the research that talks about how parents and how those safe, a healthy home environment can protect students who are victims of bullying from the long-term effects that kids can experience from being bullied. And so that's the perspective that we've chosen to kind of focus on this week.
Now, part of your argument, though, and I don't disagree with your argument, is that kids have created, and this has been a couple of decades in the making, some may argue it went on earlier than this, their own culture where they take the social cues from one another. We live in a society where the parents guiding the children into adulthood by modeling social cues, you submit, has basically come to an end.
Yeah, certainly that has been developing over numerous decades where adults were inviting their children, inviting young people into adulthood, giving them the cues. And really, youth culture has developed, become its own unique culture with its own language, with its own expression, with its own values and meaning. And increasingly, whether this has happened over time or even happened by design, parents and adults and children seem to be living separate lives. And so our perspective is that, I think legislation is helpful, and there's certainly a role for legislating on the bullying issue until we start reconnecting adults with children, whether that be educators with children and connecting parents with children. It's going to be a very difficult and uphill battle in terms of fighting the bullying epidemic. But we need to see adult and parental involvement. And in British Columbia, they have just introduced a new anti-bullying program called the ERASE program. And they have some people that they have trained to implement this program. And one of the trainers was speaking with a newspaper there and said that when they had been interacting with students, they found that the students were more attached to the physical space of the school than to any adult in that school. And that is really sad to read that, because it means it will be a very uphill battle to try to implement the tools of anti-bullying programs without those relationships that really help unmake bullies and those relationships that help protect victims.
Peter John Mitchell with us, the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. But Peter John, I would submit that it is what it is. So, yes, we should try to reconnect with kids, but it's not mutually exclusive. So we try and reconnect with kids, but under the Alberta model, the kids now have to take some ownership. And what's wrong with that? And then in the same breath, making the parents responsible for helping the kids take that ownership. So I would argue it's good to put a positive duty on kids, even not to be bystanders, and even to keep an eye on the internet.
Right. And I think I would agree with you as well that we want to train students to do the right thing and to be honorable in their actions and to not tolerate bullying. I think the issue that I have is the coercion aspect, because I'm not sure how that is going to play out. I can imagine that something is posted on Facebook and perhaps that is identified by the school or by somebody comes forward. I can see it playing out that a student that perhaps had witnessed that, or maybe many students had witnessed that post but said nothing, being brought before the principal. And I can see because there's a punitive possibility there, I think there's a loss of opportunity to say, listen, you know, when you saw that posting, you had an opportunity to do the right thing and you didn't. But next time, this is what we can do and to work with that student. But when we have a punitive action on a bystander, my fear is that students will automatically go into defensive mode and that parents will become defensive on their behalf. And so it will become antagonistic, trying to defend the inaction of the bystander rather than saying, hey, we may have messed up here, but we have a teachable moment to do the right thing and to learn how to do the right thing. So I'd like to see them build more of an atmosphere of cooperation, I suppose, with parents rather than creating a sort of atmosphere that will be hostile. I think one of the big challenges is I often hear from parents who say, you know, my kid has been bullied. I went to the school and I got no action. And I hear from educators who say, you know, we've put on workshops and we have these programs and we send information home to the parents and we never hear back from them. There seems to be a disconnect between parents and the educators. And I think one of the great challenges in the anti-bullying movement is to reconnect those communities, to reconnect parents and to reconnect educators. And that's going to be very difficult. I tend to think that it might happen and it might start with the parents of kids who have been bullied because they have the most invested in it. And I think maybe that's where the relationship begins. And I have certainly seen parents of kids who have been bullied that have gone to the school and have built those relationships and started developing a bit of a movement. And I think that will ultimately be more effective than legislating bystanders to to take action, even on the internet, under the threat of being suspended. Although I do like the idea of students taking responsibility.
Peter John Mitchell, thank you for this today, and we'll see what the listeners say now.
Great. Thanks very much, John.
Peter John Mitchell, senior researcher with the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.